Are either one of these any good? Sir?
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs.
You mean you haven't heard anybody say anything about either one of these?
Nope.
Well, what about these two?
Oh, they suck.
These are the same two movies? You weren't paying any attention.
No, I wasn't.
I don't think your manager would appreciate it.
I don't appreciate your ruse, ma'am.
I beg your pardon?
Your ruse. Your cunning attempt to trick me.
I was only pointing out that you weren't paying any attention to what I was saying.
I hope it feels good.
You hope what feels good?
I hope it feels so good to be right. There's nothing more exhilarating than pointing out the shortcomings of others, is there?
Well, this is the last time I rent here.
You'll be missed.
Screw you!
Hey, you're not allowed to rent here anymore.
Yeah!
Screw me.
Everybody, episode 32 of the Geek Generation. I'm here. Brian's here. How are you, Brian?
I am amped and here.
Excellent. I feel like I don't even have to completely introduce you anymore.
Yeah. I'm here yet again.
If people don't know who you are by now, then whatever. We have a huge show today and a ton to talk about, so let's jump right into it. We have some geek outs and freak outs to go over. So, Brian, what are you geeking out over this week?
Yay!
This week, it's such a week for freakouts. For geekouts, not so much. Some of the stuff we're going to talk about in the news, but, I saw the picture of Wonder Woman from the pilot, which kind of cool. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to watch the show, but the costume would be pretty cool. Smallville stuff, building to a head, all that stuff we're going to talk about. WrestleMania time. Wrestling has been on my mind in good and bad ways, which we'll get to as well. But just overall, geeking out the warm weather, kind of. Liking the warm weather and the feeling of spring. Just shit like that. So not too much geeking out. So
okay. So a lot of yours are stuff we're going to talk about anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't want to go over the same stuff. So.
Not a problem. Well, I have quite a few that I'm geeking out over. The first of which is Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, the Da Vinci Disappearance DLC.
Okay.
I paid $9.99 for it. Definitely got another 2 or 3 hours, and I did finish it, and it was fun. I really enjoyed it. And I was thinking about why I was so willing to pay $10, and I think that they did a really smart thing in the fact that they gave us 2 DLC packs already for free. Mm-hmm. So the $10 I'm paying now, I don't necessarily feel like I'm paying for just the new content. I feel like I'm paying for everything they've given us so far, and it's well worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what it is, because you feel like you've already paid for the other stuff for free, so this doesn't seem like you're really paying for that much. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, and Ubisoft's really smart about the way they're doing that. So, mm-hmm. And the DLC itself was great. I love Da Vinci as a character in the Assassin's Creed game, so having more of him and something kind of focused on him was cool. Plus, it was also very cool, and I'm not even going to say it's a spoiler because it's nothing major, but we get to see the Mona Lisa for the first time.
Classic.
Yeah,
classic.
He's like in the middle of painting it in one of the cutscenes. It's very cool.
I just think it's crazy how we've come to this era of technology where, even a couple years ago, you played a game and you had to wait, until if they ever made a sequel, and now you've got all this stuff to hold you over until, it keeps going. I think it's crazy. It's such a bonus, and I don't think a lot of the younger players probably take it for granted because they weren't around when, you know. But it's such a great. Yeah, you have to pay some money for some of them, but I mean, it's such a good way to keep interest in the franchise of anything when it's downtime. So
absolutely, and that's just the way that I do like how things are these days, and I do get concerned that sometimes people are holding things back on purpose, and I think they are.
Yeah.
But yeah. I do like the fact that they can go in and fix games that are broken and add little things just to say like, hey, this game's obviously doing very well. Let's give you an extra little thing here to add some more to it. It's all great. It's awesome time for video games. Another thing I'm geeking out over, also related to video games, is the trailer footage for the Batman Arkham City gameplay trailer.
I totally forgot about that. That would have been on my geek out.
That looks amazing.
It looks like the first one was amazing, but this looks like a step above and beyond. Like, oh my god.
Yeah.
Craziness.
The trailer itself is the first time we're actually seeing gameplay inside of the game. The music they used was kind of I wasn't a big fan of it. It didn't really fit the whole Batman feel. But the footage looks great. It's going to be a big difference moving from Arkham Asylum, which was very indoors and you had kind of tight quarters. Yes, there were some large areas and large rooms, but we're going now into a city. So there's going to be some huge new mechanics, one of which they showed off in the gameplay trailer, and that's how Batman will get around. And it'll be, I guess, similar to back to Assassin's Creed. If you think about the Da Vinci flying machine, it's going to be that similar idea where he can use his cape to glide around and kind of re-propel himself with his grappling hook and things like that.
Yeah, I can't wait. So awesome. I wish it was October. No, I actually don't wish it was October because of the weather, but I do wish it was October for the game.
Right on. The last thing I'm geeking out over, and I don't know if you've even seen this or not, is a movie that I am very much looking forward to, which actually comes out on April 22nd. Did you ever see Super Size Me?
Yes.
So Morgan Spurlock, the guy who did Super Size Me, is doing a new movie, a new documentary, and it is called Palm Wonderful Presents the Greatest Movie Ever Sold. And the reason that it's called that is because he actually sold the naming rights of the movie to the company Palm Wonderful, as well as pretty much everything you're going to see in the movie. The movie itself is funded by product placement, advertising, and marketing. And the movie and the documentary is about product placement, marketing, and advertising in movies. So it's a completely transparent movie where you can see the whole process of how and why studios place things into movies, and he's going to be doing it within his own movie as they're going along. I love it. The trailer's awesome. I cannot wait for this.
That sounds like a cool idea. I'll have to check out the trailer. I've not heard of it or seen it, but that sounds like an intriguing idea. I like it.
Yeah, I do enjoy a good documentary every now and then. This one just looks stellar. Those are all my geek outs, though. So what are you freaking out about this week?
Oh, freak out!
Oh, this should be good. Get ready.
I'm ready.
So I know you've in the past, or I don't know if you mentioned on here, but I know you've said that a wrestler by the name of Jeff Hardy used to be one of your favorite wrestlers, or your favorite wrestler.
Yep.
And he's come on down to some bad times, and I'll give people a little history. Jeff Hardy started he was a very popular wrestler in the early 2000s. He started in the WWF, and him and his brother Matt were the Hardy Boys. And, you know, they did risk-taking stuff, jumping off ladders, tables. They also had really great Jeff had really great high-flying moves and stuff that you'd never seen before. Really good stuff. He had a connection with the fans that you couldn't really describe. He was so over. He had some problems later on in 2003, and at that point he left the WWE and went to TNA Wrestling, and he looked like he was drugged up on PCP or some sort of stuff, and he had a short run with that company and was let go, and then he got clean, because that was the only way WWE would let him back, and he went back to WWE, and he had a resurgence where he was probably, in 2009, he was probably the most over guy on their roster, won the world championship, and he was just on top of the world. And then he decided he didn't want to re-sign with them, and he had a big storyline with CM Punk and whatever, and he left. And so he went to TNA Wrestling again. Now, TNA Wrestling has openly said they do not have a drug policy. They pretty much let anyone in they want. They thought Jeff Hardy was going to be a big move, and I agree. I would have thought so, too. He came in, and he just didn't have it anymore. He just looked like a normal guy. I don't know if it's part of it because he's back on drugs, but he just doesn't have it anymore. So anyways, they gave him a push anyways, and in October of last year, they turned him heel, or bad guy.
Which is so weird.
Yeah, which was a weird decision. And so they had him call himself the Antichrist of professional wrestling and cut all these promos where he's like swearing and then bleeping out all his words and stuff. Just completely weird. Yet the fans would still cheer him, so it was like one of those weird things. But at least, to his credit, he did play the heel well. So that brings us to, they gave him the world title. He ran with it. He's got a pending court case because he's caught for drug trafficking and has been going to court. Now, he's not guilty. We don't know that yet. But
and that all happened a little while ago, right?
A while ago, yeah. It happened in 2008, I believe. Mm-hmm. It was right around the time he left WWE. But anyway, so he's had some stuff going on in his personal life. But on the other hand, he just had a kid with his now wife. They weren't married at the time, but they got married last week or the week before. You know, I was happy for him. But in January, he had there was a TNA pay-per-view that he was on, and he seemed to be very under the influence of something. Like, not you know, marijuana, whatever is fine, but this was something different. He just looked out of it. And you know what? They covered for him, the company covered for him, and said that he was tired, and he had a long traveling schedule, whatever. But everyone knew the truth. But so that was their whatever. So again, cut to last weekend, where TNA had a pay-per-view called Victory Road, and it will go down as probably the most infamous wrestling pay-per-view of all time for a lot of people. So I did not order this pay-per-view because I would never order TNA wrestling because their product is terrible.
Nor did I.
But, you know, I read the results because I'm a big wrestling fan, and even if I don't order it, I read the results and stuff to keep up with the company, and I sometimes watch it on Thursday nights if I'm bored. But so the main event was Sting. Yes, Sting is still wrestling at 52, who is now the world champion. He had won it from Jeff 2 weeks prior, which I don't know why they did that. But anyways, so Jeff Hardy had a main event match with Sting, and Jeff Hardy comes to the ring. I watched the video on YouTube the next day after reading what happened. So Jeff Hardy comes to the ring. He's completely under the influence and out of his mind. He's swaying back and forth as he's walking down to the ring. And I know, all right, put this out there first, people are going to say, this could have been a storyline. This is not a storyline. This was not planned. This is not an angle. This is real life. So he came to the ring completely blitzed out of his mind. He gets in the ring. Sting comes down. Jeff Hardy comes to the ring, starts slapping hands with the fans when he's supposed to be a heel, which made
right.
no sense.
Yeah, I watched the analysis video that you posted, and it was very well done. That kind of documented everything that happened.
And of course they pulled it down, so I can't reference it anymore. But it was just hilarious. So he gets in the ring, and he's sitting in the corner. He just looks really effed out of his mind. So Sting comes down, and you know, Sting is a professional. He's been in the business for 25 years. He comes to the ring. He looks like he wants to kill someone. Like, he just looks upset. And of course, it comes out after the fact. I guess there was stuff going on backstage where they found Jeff Hardy in this condition, and Sting didn't want to go out there and wrestle him because he was afraid that, you know, he wouldn't be able to perform, et cetera, et cetera. So it was supposed to originally be a 30-minute match. Now we're breaking all sorts of kayfabe and all this shit, but whatever. Trying to get the story across.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, cut to Sting getting to the ring. So at this point, he's looking at Jeff Hardy. The ref does an X symbol, which is in wrestling the symbol that something's wrong. He does the hard camera.
Right.
That's not storyline-wise. It's not going right. So they do all sorts of tricks where the ref is whispering to Jeff Hardy and the ref's whispering to Sting. And Eric Bischoff comes down where, like, you know, something's going strangely wrong. They're doing the announcements of the competitors, and Sting is just like, looks like he's so pissed off. Jeff Hardy looks like he doesn't care. He almost falls over when he tries to do his move on the turnbuckle, and he tries to throw his shirt into the crowd, and instead of just doing it, he takes like 10 minutes and just walks around.
Yeah,
with
that
shirt
was
in his hand.
Really awkward.
And then Sting's just like looking at him. The ref's just looking at him. Sting tries to hook up with him, pushes him in the corner, and Jeff doesn't do anything. So at this point, they lock up, and Jeff Hardy just pushes him away again. Sting basically just grabs him by the hair, does his finisher on him, and pins him in like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And now, people had paid $45. TNA does not have many viewers. Their pay-per-view numbers are not good. I don't care. People paid $45 for this pay-per-view for this match, and that's what they got.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff Hardy was completely out of his mind on some sort of drugs, and I don't care. Completely unprofessional, completely out of line. I think it was an embarrassment to the company, embarrassment to the fans. I was embarrassed to be a fan of the sport. I felt embarrassed everything. And I was just, if you see me on Facebook, I went on a huge rant, and a lot of people were feeling the same way. I mean, I Twittered Dixie Carter. I said, are you going to refund the fans their money? I mean, how can you let a guy like this go out and perform? Mm-hmm. He could have hurt somebody. All sorts of stuff. So that's fine. Nope. Do they fire him? No, no, no. They just send him home and say that he's going through some problems. And that's fine. There obviously has no one has the balls in that company enough to fire him because they're all retarded and don't know how to run a wrestling company. So then today I read that in their infinite wisdom, and I don't know if this could be not true, but supposedly the word going around backstage last week, and everyone's morale is really bad backstage after this happened because everyone's embarrassed, is that they're going to bring him back in a couple of weeks when they feel he's healed up enough and is okay to go as a babyface. So they're going to bring him back as a good guy again. And so everyone can cheer the drug addict, the guy who's a role model to all these kids out there. Kids love him. Fans love him. And he's going to go out there and basically pretend that he's not a drug addict when we, in fact, know he needs help. I hope he goes to jail. I hope he serves jail time in his court case. And I think he should be fired. And I have lost respect for TNA Wrestling. I refuse to watch any of their shows or anything else. And I just feel bad that everyone in the company, the guys like AJ Styles, the guys like Samoa Joe, who've been there since the beginning, and they're getting overlooked for a fucking drug addict.
Yeah.
And that's what pisses me off.
And so, I guess CM Punk was right all along, calling him the charismatic enabler. And
that was the thing. CM Punk made part of a storyline. He was, you know, say, because he's straight edge, and he said a couple of things. And yeah, he was right all along. And it's just, I just can't fathom the fact that they let him go out there. Why would they not change the show? Whoever let him go out there in front of the crowd should be fired. Hulk Hogan, Eric Bischoff, Dixie Carter, I don't care who's in charge. That's just I can't blame Sting for being upset. It could have gone a lot worse than it did. Mm-hmm. It was still an embarrassment. And I guess what TNA Wrestling did is, for anyone who ordered the pay-per-view, we feel sorry because they ended a half hour early because it was supposed to go 30 minutes.
Right.
We're going to give you 6 months free of our web access to old matches, basically. And I was just like, well, okay, at least they did something. But, you know, there's a fucking cancer in that company, and they need to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And everyone defending him isn't going to help things. But you know what? The fact that they're going to bring him back as a guy makes me sick to my stomach. So that's my random. Sorry.
No, that's fine. And I'm not.
I had to get it out. I had to get it out. And I feel bad because I know I mean, I used to like him. I thought he's a great athlete when he's clean and he can do what he can do. There's no one like him. I think even when he's in WWE, when he actually has a real connection, I think TNA is just not the place. But obviously, they need drug testing. Someone needs to get help. I even messaged his brother, Matt Hardy, on Twitter, and we're like, you know, he needs help. You know, they're all in oblivious. They're like, Jeff's fine. Yeah, Jeff's fine. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I've made it known that my favorite wrestler of all time really is Jeff Hardy, but it's getting to a point of like Chris Benoit territory where I'm going to say, and I will defend his career up to this point, and even right until he was feuding with CM Punk at the end in WWE, he was phenomenal. But it's like that idea of Chris Benoit. You can't discount what he's done up to this point. It's where they are now that I don't respect. So no, I don't have the respect for Jeff Hardy that I used to anymore either.
I just think he's tarnishing his legacy though.
Absolutely.
I mean, no one's sort of like, but you know, Chris Benoit, no, I can't watch it. It's a difference between killing your family and, you know, what he did in Jeff Hardy. But I'm to the point now where I'm going to watch Jeff Hardy matches and go, you know, he's great, but what he's become now, and, you know, he still has a chance to turn himself around. I'm not saying that. He's at a point where he's just getting enabled by this company. And obviously they don't care. Mm-hmm. His brother doesn't care. And it's sad to watch someone's legacy that I think would have been in the Hall of Fame at some point. WWE's not going to touch him now. If he even leaves Cena, they're not going to want him unless they know he's going to have to rebuild himself. He's treading down dangerous waters now. And I just think it's a shame.
Yeah.
And I think he's a piece of shit. That's just what I think right now.
What he should do is leave TNA, get clean, go back to WWE, and start the Straight Edge Society back up with CM Punk and do a whole thing like, you were right, I need to follow you, and that's what needs to happen, really.
That would be fantastic. That would be a good way to do a heel, but it angers me, and I don't know why it does. I think it's because I have such a love for the business and he's shitting on it, just to see someone just have no consideration and just come out there and be like that. It's almost like Scott Hall, he was drunk a lot of times, but I don't remember him ever coming out in that kind of condition. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he may have done on house shows and stuff, but that, you know, pay-per-view, I'm sorry, that's out of, he needs to be fired.
And main event pay-per-view, by the way.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel bad. He has a kid, new kid, and he's too bad. Fire him. Fire him. But, yeah, bring him back. Yeah, that's a good idea, TNA.
Yeah.
So, sorry. That, end rant. That's my freak out for this week.
Dare I ask, do you have another?
I'm trying to think. I don't really think I do. I think that got all my anger out.
Okay.
I think it did. It was cathartic. Thank you.
There you go. My first freak out this week is actually also related to DLC. We had talked about Marvel vs. Capcom 3's DLC last week and that the Joe Valentine and Shuma Gorath package was a little steep at $4.99. Come to find out, I checked the PSN store last week and Joe Valentine and Shuma Gorath are there, not as a package, individually $4.99 for each of them. What the hell is that?
I don't know, but I refuse to buy either. Because my friend and I were like, oh, man, I can't wait for Tuesday. You're going to have the download. Go there. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Seriously? And, you know, as much as I want to play as Shuma Gorath, which I really don't. But, you know, what the hell? I mean, we talked about last week, the wrestling, you get like 4 or 5 characters for a price of $5. And they're charging $5 for one character.
Right.
And I understand they have to do rendering. And all, but you know what? Too bad. That's so many other games. I don't know. Did you ever play Super Street Fighter?
I have a Super Street Fighter 4, yeah.
Yeah. Did they do any downloadable content? And if they did, how much do you remember if they or how much their fighters were? Because it's the same company. I'm just curious.
Yeah, they didn't have characters as downloadable. They had a lot of costume packs that were all like $5 each.
All right. So I just didn't know. But yeah, that's, I think, is un. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to. As much as I really want to play as them, no, not going to do it.
Agreed. It's total bullcrap. There's no way I'm paying $5 for one character. I wouldn't even pay for Yoda when Soul Calibur 4 was out because he was $5. I'm like, I'm not going to pay $5 to play as Yoda. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah. Now we're at the bad end of the DLC.
Absolutely.
You know, we were talking about the good parts before. This is the dark side of it where, you know, they figure, well, you know, people want to play, they'll pay as much. And I'm sure there's a bunch of people who did download them both and, you know, people with disposable incomes who don't care. I mean, I'm sure they bought them and that's great, but, you know, I'm not paying that much for a friggin' character that. And it's not, I think even in a fighting game, it's like, there's no, like, end results. I mean, it's like you. It's not like you're going to be able to do anything like special with them. They're extra fighters.
Right.
I don't know. It's just,
and let's say you don't like using them after all.
Yeah. exactly. It's like, oh, I don't like Shuma Gorath. He's a giant starfish and he has crappy moves. Thanks for the $5.
I know, right?
So I hear you on that.
The other thing I'm freaking out about this week is something I'm sure you are freaking out about as well, and I've been going back and forth with many people on Facebook about it, and that is that I just finished watching Raw from last week, and now there is apparently going to be a match, a 6-man tag, in which Snooki from the Jersey Shore will be involved. And people can defend this all they want and say it's good cross-promotion, and Snooki's popular, and she got a pop. She did not get a pop. For one, there were so many boos and silent people in that crowd. Yes, some idiots were cheering, but overall, it was very, very not in her favor. Not to mention, we all know that WWE likes to fix the sounds of the crowd every now and then to make something look a lot more popular than it is. And they're like kissing her ass about being a New York Times bestselling author. Can she read, let alone write?
Probably not. But let me remind you, I mean, play devil advocate. I agree with you to a point, but on the other hand, I mean, let's go back and look at some of the other WrestleManias quickly. I mean, they've had Kim Kardashian not wrestle, but they've had her at one which she's famous for having a sex tape. Let's see, you know, they've had over the years. I mean, they've had a bunch of celebrities who really had no reason. Pamela Anderson, Jenny McCarthy. Yeah, none of them ever wrestled, but I think Jersey Shore right now. I hate it. I don't watch it, but I know a lot of people who do, and they love it. And honestly, I was out to eat Tuesday night, and they had ESPN on in the background. It was on SportsCenter, so right there is their, and that's their goal. They've got more eyes on WrestleMania. Not that it needed it, because they've already got enough. They would have made a huge buyout anyways, but I think this is going to put them even more. And yes, it sucks for us wrestling fans, but I'm looking at it from the point of view of the casual fan.
Mm-hmm.
People are talking about Snooki being at WrestleMania and wrestling. And, you know, she's going to be in there. I know people are worried about her wrestling. She's going to be in the ring for 2 minutes. She's probably going to slap someone and do a Luthez press again, and they're going to get out of the ring. It's not like she's wrestling 101. They're going to protect it as much as they can. And WrestleMania always has had stupid celebrity matches. I mean, the past years they've had people try to, you know, be in there. At least it's not the centerpiece. It's more of just like a, we're going to throw this in the last minute to get a couple additional buys. Mm-hmm. I think it's okay. I agree with you, though, that they're although actually I was surprised. I thought the crowd was going to shit on her a lot more. I thought they were going to, they may have filtered out the booze. That's the thing.
Right.
But although I don't know, but I was surprised that she got it. I thought they were going to portray her as a heel, first of all, because I was like, they're going to make her a baby face. Mm. Really? And that was my, but you know, it is what it is. I don't think she's going to be around. I mean, it's going to be, she'll be one and done at WrestleMania. It's one of those things, you know, we'll go back years from now and laugh at, but it, you got to give them credit. I mean, TNA spent millions of dollars on Jay Wow from Jersey Shore and Angelina from Jersey Shore, brought them in, put them on TNA Impact on Thursday nights, which runs directly opposed to Jersey Shore, which was the greatest idea of all time, and no one cared. And WWE brings in Snooki for one Raw, and they're bringing it to WrestleMania, and the world is talking about it. So that just shows you the dichotomy between the two companies. I'm just, you know, I know, I'm half guarantee the reason they did it, Vince wanted to stick it to TNA again. Because as much as people say he doesn't care about it, I know he deep down, he doesn't see them as competition, but I think he likes to one-up them when he can.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, at least if you bring in someone like JWoww, you have something to look at. There is no measurable.
No, that's true.
There's no measurable talent or anything that like Snooki offers. Yeah,
she looks like a fat troll. Yeah. No, I agree with you. I mean, I don't know if you saw the South Park episode. All I could think of was Snooki wants smush.
Yeah.
That's all I could think of when she was out there. I mean, she's gross and she's untalented. She doesn't deserve it. But you know, if it's going to bring in a couple additional people to watch the pay per view, whatever. I mean. At least they have John Morrison and Trish and Dolph Ziggler, who are at least going to bring the actual ring talent. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm not worried about the match. It's just, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, I hear you, man. I agree. I don't like when they, but I, at least it's WrestleMania. If it was a normal pay-per-view, I'd be like, why are you doing this?
Right.
But again,
I have no issues with cross promotion. I think that's very smart for them to bring in celebrities here and there, but use them for what they should be used for. There's no reason that Snooki should be in a match. Yes, they brought in someone like Floyd Money Mayweather, who I didn't really care about, but at least it makes sense because he can do something in a match.
Yeah.
So, and if they're going to bring in someone like Kim Kardashian, I wasn't too thrilled with that either, but at least they weren't sticking her in the ring. And people like Pamela Anderson and Jenny McCarthy, like you mentioned,
at least
they have some sort of fame for actually doing something other than being famous or having a sex tape. I mean, Pamela Anderson does have one, but that's not the point of why she's famous originally.
Yeah.
So.
No, I know what you mean, yeah. I mean, yeah, Donald Trump, they brought him. That was their biggest buy rate ever, and he didn't wrestle. So
and I love when Trump's on. Trump's hysterical.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I understand your point. I think Trish, they put her in there with Trish, who arguably is the greatest women's wrestler of our generation, at least. I mean, easily. So I'm sure she's going to not let her fuck things up too bad. And I'm sure, like I said, I'm sure she'll probably get in 2 to 3 minutes of ring time max. And she'll probably be involved in the finish. I don't think it's going to be more of her just being there. I don't think they're going to let her do much. I'm sure they're not that stupid. I would hope they're not that stupid.
If Snooki pins Ziggler, I quit.
they won't do that. They won't do that. If they do that, then I will agree with you. That's fucking retarded if they do that. I agree 100%. But, I mean, you know, they've got Vicky Guerrero. They've got the whole – it's going to be an entertainment match. It's going to be a bathroom break, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So – but, no, I understand, man. I agree. So
– yeah. All right. Well, that's my last freak out. So we haven't done this in a while, but it's time for the return of top three.
Uh-oh. Sweet.
Three. Two. One.
So for those fans or listeners that might – just be getting into the show now and have only heard the last few episodes, you might not have been exposed to top three yet. Basically, I am going to hit my co-host with a category that he is unaware of and basically has to give his top three for the category in no particular order that would fulfill the category requirements. So, this week's top three, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
What are the top three villains you would want to see in a Superman movie? Not necessarily the actual reboot that they are creating. However, if you wanted to gauge it that way, you could. But Superman's rogues gallery is not as expansive. Well, maybe as expansive, but he's never had the great quality of villains that someone like Batman or the X-Men or anything like that have
or Flash
battled against,
or Spider-Man.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Now, first of all, can I use people who have already been in Superman movies?
Absolutely.
They're like villains. That's what I'm
saying. Yeah.
I'd like to see them do Lex Luthor right.
Mm-hmm.
They've never really gotten Lex Luthor right. Gene Hackman in the 70s. We talked a little bit about this on my podcast with Todd, but Gene Hackman didn't really, I mean, for the 70s, yeah, Luther was like the mad scientist, kind of quirky, weird. It was fine for his time, but I mean, you know, I didn't like that. Kevin Spacey could have been a phenomenal Lex Luthor, but again, they made him play the Gene Hackman role, which I was disappointed with. I'm waiting them to see, pull the trigger on a Michael Rosenbaum level Lex Luthor, who is the ruthless businessman, ruthless villain who is out there thinking he wants to, the world would be a better place if just Superman wasn't there. Mm-hmm. Sort of like, I'm waiting for that Lex Luthor, and I know it's not going to be in the reboot because they're not using Lex Luthor, which kind of disappoints me, but I understand because everyone, he's done so often, and plus after Smallville, I don't think I'd be able to want to see a Lex Luthor, but I'd like to someday see a good Lex Luthor done on a feature film the right way. That, I don't know who would play him. I want to say Michael Rosenbaum, but that's stupid, but you know what I mean? I would like to see them do him right. You're right, though. There's not that many options. I mean, you got people like Metallo and the Parasite who are not, you can't really use them as, you know, villains for the entire movie. I mean, definitely Brainiac, I would think, is someone they haven't used yet mm-hmm. that definitely could be done well. There was a bunch of scripts before they did Superman Returns when they were going to use Brainiac. And if Bryan Singer got to do his sequel to Superman Returns, they were going to use Brainiac, which I thought would have been good. But I would like to see Brainiac, you know, coming down, invading Metropolis, having a giant alien invasion, you know, either having be the robotic Brainiac or having be whatever. Not the green screen Brainiac. I think that'd be kind of weird. But definitely have him go toe-to-toe with Superman. And I think that would be a great, great villain for Superman. And definitely someone the general public doesn't know that well, but is definitely up there as one of his top villains.
Oh, sure.
You mean you got to go Luthor and Brainiac are his top two, I think, easily.
Yep.
Darkseid would be cool, but I think he'd be too hard to do on a feature film and too cosmic. Like, they're doing him on Smallville, but they're changing. He would be too deep, too much into the comic book mythology to get into. So I'm trying to think of a third person that would be powerful enough to be a threat, but not, I mean, they've done Zod, and they did him so well in Superman 2, and they're going to do him again in the reboot, so I don't want to say Zod, but I'm trying to think, who else is there? Mr. Mitzelplick, that would be stupid.
You think so? I think that could be interesting.
It would be played too much for, do you really trust Hollywood to do Mr. Mitzelplick?
Really?
It would be like, let me remind you, do you remember Lois and Clark? Did you ever watch Lois and Clark? Do you remember
what's his face? Howie Mandel. Yeah, played Mr. Yeah. Mixia's
That's what it would be like. Yeah, and it would, yeah, sorry, I pronounced it very wrong. But, I'm picturing them getting like Gilbert Godfrey or someone to be him. It would be just annoying and bad. But yeah, I mean, if done the right way, I could see it, but I just don't know. You need to have, I mean, the whole problem with Superman Returns was no one felt any sort of like danger for Superman. You need to have that villain that on the level that can go toe to toe with Superman.
Right.
So maybe, I almost would say they take a DC villain, someone from like, Mongul, who is primarily a Green Lantern villain, but has also, after Superman died, he destroyed Coast City mm-hmm. with Cyborg Superman. I would use Mongul, someone like that, who's another alien. Someone from, that has the power levels to go toe to toe with Superman, I think would be. So that, I guess those are my three. Brainiac, Luthor, and Mongul.
Cool. I came up with 3-2 as well, just because.
Oh, good.
I agree with you for the first one. I want to see Luthor done right.
Yeah,
absolutely. The Gene Hackman Luthor was great for the time and for what they were going for, but they should have not attempted that again with Kevin Spacey.
No, it was a giant. I know they're trying to play tribute, but
yeah, I want to see the animated Luthor jump out of that screen and onto the live action movie. Basically,
I mean, Spacey could have done it if he had if they did it in the script, he could have pulled it off.
Oh, absolutely,
definitely,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's just a shame that they wasted it.
So. Yeah, it's no fault of his. I would like to see Darkseid very much, even if.
Okay.
Even if it is a little more cosmic, I think they could set the scene maybe at the end of one movie and lead it into the next.
I could see that. I mean, and plus in the feature film, you can do a lot more special effects-wise than they can on Smallville,
sure.
where you could, you know, technically bring Apocalypse, the planet, in and, you know, the new gods and stuff like that.
Right, like if you really want to do Alien Invasion, I think it would be Darkseid over Brainiac to kind of make that happen.
All right, fair enough.
And I do like Brainiac. I like him a lot, but I actually want to see, if I want a straight action beat the hell out of each other, I want to see him lock horns with Doomsday.
Oh, how did I forget Doomsday? Yeah, I could, again, though, they would have to redo his origin again. You can't just have him be like the comics where he just lands on Earth. Or, I don't know. He has, and plus with Hollywood, they tried to make him talk. because they wouldn't be able to have, you know, they need someone to play. So again, he would have to be either working for someone or being sent by some, maybe have Brainiac send him something. He'd have to be a secondary villain, I think, not, he wouldn't be able to be the main villain in the entire movie.
That makes sense to me.
There'd be no, yeah, no, I agree with that. I just thought of one that I would kind of like to see, actually.
Who's that?
I think Bizarro would be interesting.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Very interesting. But don't have, see, I wouldn't have the same actor that playing Superman play Bizarro. I'd have someone totally different play Bizarro.
Yeah.
Even though, because they've always done the thing where they have the same actor, like Tom Welling playing Bizarro. But I'd have someone completely different. Yeah, Bizarro. I mean, the evil Superman who talks backwards and is all about backwards stuff. I would do it. You could even make him, like, more violent and crazy as opposed to, like, a comedy figure like they did in the comics.
Right, right.
I mean,
and again, Bizarro's interesting because he's one of those villains that isn't necessarily a villain. He just doesn't know any better.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah. I didn't think that came to me. Yeah.
All right, cool. So we're going to take a break here, and we'll come back with the news.
Do you shop on Amazon.com? Would you like to support the Geek Generation while shopping on Amazon.com? Great, because you can do both without spending any additional money. All you need to do is visit www.thegeekgeneration.com and find the Amazon button on the front page. Click the button, do your normal shopping, and check out. You've spent no additional money, but you have earned us a commission. Please make this a regular part of your Amazon.com shopping routine.
Hi, this is TNA Tara, and you're listening to the one and only The Geek Generation. I repeat, The Geek Generation.
We are back, and normally we would jump right into listener emails at this point, but I didn't ask a question last week, and nobody wrote in, so we don't really have any listener emails to go over. However, I do have a poll question for this week, so you can answer next week, hopefully. And nice. That is, what do you think, the audience, of the new Wonder Woman TV costume? Brian and I haven't really talked about it yet. We will in the news. But after we have our discussion, I'd like to hear your opinions. If you haven't seen it yet, you can go to thegeekgeneration.com, and there is a pretty high-res picture of Adrian Palicki in the Wonder Woman costume for the TV pilot. So what do you think of the new Wonder Woman TV costume? Please send your answers to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter. And with that, we're going right into the news. Top story this week is unfortunately a sadder one. As we say rest in peace to Michael Gough. For those not familiar, Michael Gough, the British actor, best known for playing Bruce Wayne's butler Alfred Pennyworth in Tim Burton's Batman movies, has died at age 94. Gough appeared in more than 150 movies and television shows, including the British science fiction show Doctor Who. He died of old age at home in England on Thursday, surrounded by family. I say forget St. Paddy's Day from now on. And I hereby declare March 17th as Michael Gough Day. So instead of wearing green, let's all wear our Batman-branded apparel from now on St. Patrick's Day, or Michael Gough Day, as it now should be.
Nice.
That's a big loss.
It was very sad to me because, I mean, I grew up on the first Tim Burton Batman movie. And to me, he was Alfred for so long to me. Like, I remember Michael Caine, obviously, you know, is a great, phenomenal Alfred animated series. But to me, Michael Gough did such a great job of having, like, he played Alfred well, but he also had that caring nature towards Bruce that you could, like, it was just so intangible, it was so good the way he played it. And as bad as the Schumacher movies were, even in those, he shined through the crap that were those movies. And he was besides Commissioner Gordon, he was the only actor to be in all four of the original Batman movies.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, and he nailed the role, absolutely. He could definitely play the smarter, almost sidekick type to Batman while being the father figure.
Yeah, yeah. It brings back so many memories, and it was a sad, sad day when I read about that on Thursday.
Absolutely.
So,
good guy lost. Next story here. After 10 long years, Clark Kent of Smallville is finally ready to suit up. Star Tom Welling reveals that his character will finally don Superman's famous red cape, blue tights, and S-Shield and take flight in the CW series' final episode. Welling, who spent more hours playing Clark Kent than any actor in history, told the LA Times, quote, Some people might be a little upset that it's taken this long, but I think that we have to embrace the fact that if we'd done it in the first season, the show would be over. Your thoughts?
I'm excited, and I can't wait, although I'm really starting, this has nothing to do with the story, but I'm really starting to think that they're going to totally redesign the costume for the new reboot movie, because I read something with Zack Snyder where they were asked him something about the suit, and he's like, you'll be seeing a picture of the suit soon, but, like, we can't talk about it. So it makes me think they're going to do some, like, major changes to it. So I'm excited to see Welling in, even though it's going to be the Superman Return suit, a Superman suit that's pretty, although it looks like they're probably going to use the old cape, but they're going to use the body piece from the Superman Returns with the. But I can't wait. I mean, I think everyone expected this, but to finally see it, you know, officially confirmed, I think is a sigh of relief. I mean, because there had been, I think we talked about on here a couple months ago that, I mean, they had wanted to have him in it for the last four episodes, but Warner Brothers put the kibosh on that because, you know, the whole new movie. But, I mean, I don't know how long he's going to be in it for the. It may just be the last 10 minutes of the episode or whatever, but I think it's going to be fantastic, and I can't wait, and I'm going to cry my eyes out.
No doubt. Yeah, I'm very excited to see it. I hope they do more than just, like, the last 5 minutes, because really what everyone wants to see is him stepping into the light in the suit, getting the recognition from everyone, and kind of get their reaction. If he just kind of is like in the barn, throws it on, and flies out the window, it's not going to be nearly as powerful as what they could do.
No, I mean, I have so many things in my head that I like want to see. Like, I don't know if I want to see him and Lex meet it with him in costume at the end, or him flying up to the Daily Planet window.
That'd be
so
amazing.
Yeah, just so many different ways they can do
Imagine if they did the classic thing where Lex is sitting in, like, a skyscraper. And he just hovers outside the window and staring at him.
Amazing.
That'd be so
amazing.
Sick.
It makes me happy but angry at the same time, because we have friends that are getting married that weekend, and we're not going to be able to see the finale live, which makes me sad.
Yeah, yeah.
But no fault of theirs, but it's one of those things that, like, timing-wise is so bad.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to it.
Let's see. We mentioned this already, actually, with the poll question. Warner Brothers Television has released the first image of Adrian Palicki starring as the title character in the new NBC pilot Wonder Woman from executive producer David E. Kelley. What's your take on the costume?
It's an interesting it's sort of a combination of the old one and the one that they're using in the comics now, which is they're going to go back to the old one soon anyways. But they sort of, I don't know, I like it, but a part of it kind of looks a little fanboy cosplay kind of thing of it, but I like the bracelets, I like the tiara, I like the boobage. I mean, what?
Have that with Wonder Woman.
Yeah. I actually like the pants. I like how they didn't have her wear, like, the star-spangled, like, panties.
Right.
Panty panties, because that's just, you know, can't do that nowadays. It looks good. I'm just hoping the show is going to live up to, that's the problem. Is like, I was actually at a friend's house last night, and I was showing a bunch of people on the site, from the site, this photo, and a lot of people liked it. They thought it looked good, but we'll see how the show is. I mean, that's what's going to all, I mean, you can have a good costume or a bad costume. It's going to be how the show is, and I'm still kind of up in the air on how the show is going to be. But no, I think it's a pretty good choice. I mean, I would change a couple of things, but it looks pretty good, I think, for a TV show. I think it looks a little campy, but I'm hopefully the way they play the show won't come off that way. So.
Yeah, and I think you made a good point there. And what people really need to remember about this, and people seem to forget, like, there's a lot of people saying it looks cheap, it looks like someone cosplaying, or they've seen cosplay costumes better than this. Let's remember that this is a TV show. If this was a movie, this costume might be totally different, and they would have put a lot more money into it, but this is a TV show and a pilot. Nonetheless,
that hasn't even been picked up officially. Yeah, so they're not gonna, you know, let's pull all this money and then, like, oh wait, we're not getting picked up for a full season. Yeah,
exactly. So this could be something that evolves in the future. I think using the pants is a really smart decision. It makes it way more modern, whereas having the short shorts is just, or the hot pants, as you will, is just way too campy at this point.
It worked for the 70s, and with Linda Carter, she was perfect. She was Wonder, but, like, for nowadays, I totally agree with I still don't. The casting is okay. Mm-hmm. I still wish it would have been what's her
Bridget
face?
Bridget Regan.
We talked about. Yes, but you know, I'm okay. She's got the body for it. She looks okay. It's just her face. I don't know. But it's going to be an interesting experiment to see how it works.
I actually wouldn't have minded seeing, like, I did really like the costume revamp that they did in the comics, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't have minded seeing the jacket on this one.
Yeah,
either.
It's kind of close to it. It's interesting. They took a couple of things from it. But yeah, the jacket, I'm surprised they didn't actually, I was expecting that, because it's a good way of modernizing
Absolutely.
It. Absolutely. I think it's because now the comics are going right back to the old
right.
one, because the fan backlash was so bad. So.
Right, right. Which is too bad, because I did like it.
Yeah, I agree.
Those of you that want to answer the poll question, let us know what you think of it. Next one here is a story that I am kind of pumped about. Warner Brothers Pictures and Legendary Pictures announced Friday that Kevin Costner will play Jonathan Kent, the father who raised Clark Kent as his own son, in the new Superman movie to be directed by Zack Snyder. Snyder stated, quote, "Jonathan Kent is the only father figure Clark has ever had, the man who was there to help Clark understand what he was meant to do in the world as Superman. Kevin will be able to communicate the quiet strength of this rural American man who raised the greatest superhero of all time." I think this casting is perfect.
It's great. He's no John Snyder now. I'm joking.
No, you're right. I mean, Jonathan Snyder, it's going to be hard to
But
to
no,
top.
I think it's going to be – it's a good casting. I still am a little iffy on Diane Lane, but I think this is a good choice. It was rumored for a while, and I think even at one point they said it was happening, and then they said it wasn't happening, but it looks like this it's finally official, so I think that's good to get that locked up. I think it's going to be good. We'll see how much actual time he has in the movie. I don't know if it's going to be in flashback or if he's going to be given aged makeup to make him look older mm-hmm. or whatever. I don't know. So we'll have to see.
Or if they're going to kill him off again like they seem to in every iteration of Superman media.
That. Except Lois and Clark. And except the, yeah.
True, true.
Except Lois and Clark and the animated series.
Yep.
But yeah.
This one is a bummer. Darren Aronofsky is no longer directing The Wolverine. This Thursday.
This made me so sad.
Yeah, this Thursday, Darren Aronofsky and 20th Century Fox issued the following statements about the director's involvement in the movie, The Wolverine. Stated Aronofsky, quote, "As I talked more about the film with my collaborators at Fox, it became clear that the production of The Wolverine would keep me out of the country for almost a year. I was not comfortable being away from my family for that length of time. I am sad that I won't be able to see the project through, as it is a terrific script, and I was very much looking forward to working with my friend Hugh Jackman again." Stated 20th Century Fox, quote, "While we are, of course, disappointed that Darren can't do the Wolverine, we also understand and respect his reasons. Having done both The Wrestler and Black Swan with Darren, we know he is an extraordinary talent, and we look forward to working with him on other projects in the future. Hugh Jackman and Fox both remain fully committed to making the Wolverine. We will regroup and move forward aggressively."
So sad. I was looking so forward to this. I don't know if part me wonders if, since, you know, going from The Wrestler and, you know, Black Swan, Oscar nominated, to now, ooh, you're going to do a superhero movie? I don't know if that has anything to do with it, where maybe some the powers that be told him, you know, you shouldn't do this, or himself. I don't know. It seems kind of weird how, yeah, it's going to keep me out of the country. I kind of think he kind of would have known that beforehand. It seems kind of iffy for me that all of a sudden now he decided that, oh, yeah, as I talked more about it, I'm like, that kind of, I mean, if he knew the script and he knew, I'm sure they already have pretty much laid out what they were going to do. I just kind of funny that this happened pretty much right after the Oscars. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I may be reading too much into it, but it sucks. I hope they find a good director. I'm worried that they're going to try to rush and try to find anyone to pick it up so they can keep it doing fast, which is the worst thing they could do, because they're always going to do that, and then it's going to turn into a shit movie. But we'll see.
Yeah.
I'm the always pessimistic. But
I do buy his rationale. And I could totally understand that from somebody. The reasoning that I think that it would be more legitimate is because I don't think he would see doing a movie like Wolverine as a step down, like doing a superhero movie. And plus, the money is guaranteed on something like that.
Well, no, I don't, not him per se, but I'm saying, you know, the people around him, maybe. I don't know. Or I don't know.
Maybe, I don't think he's worried about that kind of stuff. I mean, he already went to the world of professional wrestling. He's done a ballet movie. I mean, I don't think he's really going to be threatened by, oh, we don't know if this is the right subject matter for you. I think he's one of those people that'll just kind of rise above one way or the other. But I am very bummed that he's leaving the project, because he is a fantastic director and was one of the main reasons I was even excited to see another Wolverine movie. But if they can get someone comparable, which is going to be tough, but there's still potential here.
Just make sure it's not Brett Ratner, or I won't see it.
Yeah, no kidding.
Next story here. It was announced Thursday that NBC has issued pickups for three returning comedy series in 2011-2012 that include The Office, Parks and Recreation, and Community. NBC Entertainment Chairman Bob Greenblatt said, quote, "I am so pleased to renew these three outstanding comedies, which are all at the top of their game creatively. Along with 30 Rock, they represent the best of what the NBC comedy brand stands for in terms of originality, wit, and sophistication. The Office continues to fire on all cylinders on the most competitive night of television. Parks and Recreation has come into its own this season as the rightful companion to The Office, and Community is one of the freshest comedies on any network and a solid foundation for Thursday night." Do you watch any of these?
I watched The Office up until last season, and then I just, once they got, do you watch The Office?
I've seen maybe one or two episodes.
All right. So anyways, I was a big fan of it, and then when they got two of the characters together, like married, I was just like, okay, it's jumping the shark, and then they're having a baby, and I was just like, okay, I don't care anymore. So no, I don't watch The Office anymore, although certain friends keep telling me to watch it.
And I believe Steve Carell's actually leaving the show too, isn't he?
He is. So that's what makes me, I'm wondering, it's going to be a gamble to see if they can hold the rating, because he pretty much was the show. They're not to say that they have a lot of other talented people, but it's going to be interesting to see if there's going to be a dip in the ratings with him, and I'm sure they're probably worried about that. But I've heard good things about Parks and Recreation, and I've heard awesome things about Community, and I kind of want to see it, but I haven't gotten around to it. I saw the Dungeons & Dragons episode of Community. It made me laugh my ass off, so this doesn't really surprise me. I pretty much figured that all these were coming back, but it's good to have a confirmation early that they're coming back.
So. Yeah, I've seen one or two episodes of The Office and Community. I've never seen Parks and Rec, and really I'm just not that into any of them, honestly. So this doesn't really affect me at all, but some people might be pumped about it.
Yeah, for Parks and Recreation, I watched an episode and I just couldn't get into it.
Yeah, yeah. Last story here is actually a rumor, so I'll just preface that. But we normally don't report rumors on the site, but we'll talk about them on here. Speculation has run rampant regarding the role that Joseph Gordon-Levitt will play in The Dark Knight Rises, with blogs pegging the part as the Riddler or Deadshot, but insiders told Variety that Gordon-Levitt will be playing Alberto Falcone, the son of Mafia chieftain Carmine Falcone, the character Tom Wilkinson played in Batman Begins. Alberto Falcone, who is also known as the Holiday Killer, would bring Nolan's superhero trilogy full circle. The character fits with the director's stated intentions for continuity and preference to pit the Caped Crusader against realistic villains, as opposed to cartoonish nemeses such as Mr. Freeze and Poison Ivy.
I wouldn't surprise me if it's 100% true, because, I mean, he mentioned how Long Halloween was one of his, or it might have been Bale, one of them mentioned about Long Halloween was one of their favorite Batman stories, and that's definitely from Long Halloween. And not to say they're going to turn him into the Holiday Killer, but I think just to tie up the ends of Falcone from the first movie, it makes sense. And, you know, it seems like they're going to do a lot of tying up everything. So it wouldn't shock me at all. I mean, I would say it's a pretty good chance that's true.
Yeah, I never know what to think about insider sources, but
yeah. You know, you never know until. But I wouldn't. It sounds reasonable. I mean, the Riddler was kind of stupid. The Riddler. Okay, he's not gonna be the Riddler. Deadshot. They're not gonna do Deadshot. But yeah, exactly. It's funny though. Every time they announce something more about this movie, I get more and more saddened because realizing it's the last one.
Yeah, I know, right?
There's not gonna be another one, and I have no faith that they're going to be able to recreate this in another Batman franchise.
No, I agree.
Makes me sad.
I know what you mean.
We're living in the golden era of Batman. Just everyone beware of that, because I don't know. I hope that Warner Brothers can figure it out. But
I'm pretty sure I'm going to cry at the end of The Dark Knight Rises, no matter how it ends, just because it's going to be over.
Yeah, exactly. It's just. You know,
but even if this is rumor, I think it is very smart if it's legitimate.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It makes perfect sense narrative-wise and plot-wise. And yeah, exactly. So, and he's a great actor. So, I mean, in Inception, he was fantastic.
Absolutely. So that's our news. Sorry, go ahead. I cut you off.
No, I was going to say he sucked in G.I. Joe.
Well, it is G.I. Joe, I mean.
Come on, man. It's Cobra Commander. He was my favorite animated character as a kid, and they ruined him. No, I'm joking.
It wasn't his fault, I don't think.
I don't know. Probably not.
That's the news block, so before we go, I just want to remind everyone the poll question. What do you think of the new Wonder Woman TV costume? Please send that to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter. Do you have a final thought or something you'd like to plug, Brian?
Yes, the third issue of Graphically Speaking will be out this week. I'm going to have a guest on who is my friend, who is very knowledgeable about comics. We're going to talk about a lot of cool shit. So give it a listen. So it should be up sometime midweek, hopefully.
Fantastic. I also have a couple movie reviews coming out this week that are written.
Sweet.
Just need to record them and get them out there.
Sweet.
Again, I'm going to remind the audience, stop being selfish. Please share the show on Facebook and Twitter and let people know if you enjoy it. Why not let them enjoy it too? If you want to visit the site you could comment on articles and stuff. So I guess you could kind of talk. But if you want to see the articles from some of the news things that we talked about or just some of the other stuff on the site, you can go to thegeekgeneration.com. On the side, there is a button to subscribe to this show as well as Graphically Speaking and our movie reviews inside of iTunes. While you are there, please rate the show and write a review. There is also a donation button on the side that no one will ever use. If you have any questions, comments, insults, or topics you would like us to discuss on a future show, please send those to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter. If you'd like to submit an article to the site or an audio file to this show, please send those to guest@thegeekgeneration.com. And I would love if people had pictures or thoughts about their experience at PAX East. Unfortunately, I was unable to go. But if you do have any of that stuff that you'd like to submit, again, guest@thegeekgeneration.com. I'd love to throw it up on the site. If you'd like to follow either myself or Brian on Twitter, I'm on there @TheNightAngel. Brian is @XanderHarris. So follow us on Twitter. And as always, the show theme is provided by Machine Supremacy. A link to their site is on our site as well. Wrapping up episode 32. In pretty good time, actually. And actually, we're hoping to record a local, totally in-studio episode next week. We're going to see how that goes, potentially. It's not 100% solidified yet, but if that goes through pretty well, then maybe we will get into the realm of recording a live episode for everyone that you can actually call into. That is in the works, so I'm hoping that'll happen in the future. But for now, we will see you all next week.
Peace.